Thank you to our worship team. I love Sundays. I know many of you do. It's why you're here, and what a privilege it is for us to be able to worship together. I have a couple things that I want to just kind of put out to you before we jump into our series. The first is the Alpha class. I think you'll see an image there. We are set to kick this off a week from tomorrow, so September 15th, if you can believe it. We're already there. I told you, gosh, a month ago, we had a dozen spots, give or take, and we filled two-thirds of those. So we have about four or so spots open in Alpha. It's one of the greatest things that I get to do is to facilitate that conversation, and that's really what it is. It's not a Bible study. It's not a seminary lecture. It's not a, come and I'll just brainwash you and teach you but what everything that I believe is right. It's really just an open dialogue and conversation facilitated with a video each week that kind of addresses some of the key questions or things about Christianity from a biblical perspective, but then we open it up for about an hour each week to just kind of dialogue around that. And some of the greatest moments that I've had as a pastor have been in those Alpha settings. One, you just never know who's going to come or what they're going to say, and two, you just never know how God is going to use that time. And so I love it. I absolutely love it. It's totally free. We have snacks and drinks each week. There is free childcare, which is something that we added a couple sessions ago because we realized that that could be a barrier for some of you. So it is you just got to go on our website. Like I said, ideal is like about 12 of us in the room. If we get much bigger than that, the conversation can kind of get kind of difficult. So, but we have eight. It's going to be amazing. And so if that's of interest to you, go on our website, you can RSVP, or if you're like, hey, I'm not sure, this is kind of my story or my deal, and I'm curious, is this the right spot for me? Be happy to reach out. If you'd be happy to reach out to me, I'd be more than honored to kind of dialogue with you about that. So that's happening a week from tomorrow, if you can believe it. The other just quick thing is to remind you at the end of our time, we're going to share in communion together. So hopefully as you came in, you grabbed the elements. If you did not, I encourage you at any point to jump up and go grab them. It's no disruption at all. We want to make sure that everybody who would like to participate in that is able to. So, all right, week 6 of 7 in our Things Unseen series. By the way, one more time for Baptism Sunday, huh? Wasn't that not amazing last week? 9 of our friends, I just leave Baptism Sundays thinking if I just went to heaven right then and there, my life would be good. It's just my heart is just so swollen after Baptism Sunday. So congratulations once again to all 9 of, by the way, I failed to say it last week. A lot of times we get the question on Baptism Sunday, when's the next one? And the answer to that is November 21st, Sunday, November 21st. I think it's the Sunday prior to Thanksgiving, not Thanksgiving weekend, but prior to. So if that's of interest to you, the form is always available on through the Church Center app. You can just go in and fill that out. It comes directly to me, and then I'll follow up with you. Or if you want to just dialogue about it offline, we can do that as well. So week 6 of 7 in our series, Things Unseen. We're going to wrap it up next week, and then the following week, we're going to kick off a new series called Fruition, which is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And I'll just say, as I kind of get going this morning, your feedback around this series has been both kind and encouraging to me. Obviously I do this as a profession 40 some times a year, a few weeks off here and there, and it's easy to just kind of do your trade, if you will, and get up here and preach and do all the things. And so when you take time to give me feedback about how it's helping or encouraging or how much you hate it or whatever the feedback is, it's actually really helpful for me. And so many of you in various capacities have just said how much this has encouraged you and helped you, which was the goal, of course. But I just want to say, be assured, I've tried to soak in as much of this as I possibly can as well. So you get it on Sundays. I get it Monday through Saturday as I'm preparing for Sunday. And be assured that in the course of those days, God has just been kind of saturating my mind and heart with a lot of the same stuff that I hope you're getting. And so I've just been trying to learn alongside of you as we go. So here's a quick recap of where we've been in the first 5 weeks of this series. In week 1, we made the argument of why we need this series. Jesus said, it's better for you that I go away, that the helper may come. Those are strong words from Jesus, trying to back them up, if you will. In week two, we took 40 minutes to answer the age-old question of who is the Holy Spirit. You all became experts on that. And in week three, the role of the Holy Spirit, part one. And then in week four, the role of the Holy Spirit, part two. And then 2 weeks ago, the week before Baptism Sunday, we looked at the relationship and really kind of the connection, if you will, between Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Because as Christians, if that's what we are, we're mostly familiar with Jesus, right? And the term Christian is the idea of being a follower of Christ. So we're most familiar with Jesus. And so we kind of dissected, we kind of looked at all the major benchmarks, if you will, of Jesus's life to say, hey, how did the Holy Spirit show up in those moments? Because if I've baked my life on following Jesus and Jesus was connected to the Holy Spirit, had a relationship with the Holy Spirit, then so too must I, right? So that was 2 weeks ago, which brings us to today, week six, and I want us to consider the relationship between prayer and the Holy Spirit. When I say that, I lose a lot of you. I lose a lot of you. We intentionally called this series, I think my batteries must be dying on this, guys. I don't know if you know. It's just me, okay? My batteries are dying, but that's metaphoric for... I'm glad you're with me. Anyhow, we intentionally called this series Things Unseen, and as you think about the Christian life and the Christian faith in a general sense, the two primary things, primary, not exclusive, but primary things that are in essence truly unseen, like invisible to the eye, if you will, are these two things, prayer and the Holy Spirit. I can audibly hear prayer. I can see the results of prayer. I can see the impact of the Holy Spirit. I can feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. But in terms of things that I can actually see, these two things are at the top of the list in the Christian faith, prayer and the Holy Spirit. And you've heard me reference a book throughout this series multiple times called The Familiar Stranger. A couple of you, I think, have even picked it up for yourselves, which is encouraging to me. But the book is entitled The Familiar Stranger, which is, of course, a reference to the Holy Spirit. That is what the author meant by the familiar stranger. However, I would just say, if the Holy Spirit is the familiar stranger, prayer has to be a close second cousin, if you know what I mean, right? Generally speaking, generalizations are never good, but I think after 20-some years of being a pastor, I think this is pretty accurate. Generally speaking, most of us struggle to pray. Can I get an amen? Amen. All right, a couple honest people in the room. And yet, here's the tension. So that's a struggle for us, and yet this is how we are instructed in the Bible. This is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Pray at all times in the Spirit, with every prayer and request, and stay alert with all perseverance and intercessions for all the saints. So that's the mandate of Scripture. Pray at all times in the Spirit. And right there, 99% of us are like, ooh, I'm out. Pray at all times. So there's a tension. There's this awkward, unresolved reality. We struggle to pray, and yet we're commanded to pray. And these things tend to just run down parallel tracks because we don't necessarily know all the time how to make them intersect, if you will. Pray at all times. What exactly does that mean? What exactly does that look like? And frankly, how do we do it? It feels difficult, if not impossible. And yet, so that's the command, and that's the mandate, and we struggle, albeit, to do that, right? And yet, here's the good news. We have some help. You're going to see this verse three different times today. Here's the first time, Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. In the same way, here's the good news, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, because we're about to all take a big sigh of relief here. We do not know what to pray for as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with inexpressible groanings, and he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. You see it. So the command, the mandate is pray at all times in the Spirit. But Paul, writing in Romans chapter 8, is like, but don't worry if you feel burdened by that, because the good news is the very Spirit of God will help you, because you don't know how to pray as you ought to. So this tension that gets created biblically and just by sheer the fact that we're humans, if you will, and we struggle with certain things, is resolved somewhat by the role of the Holy Spirit in helping us to pray because we do not know how to pray as we ought to. You have probably caught that. We do not know what to pray for as we should. And I would just say, oh my, is that true for anybody else other than me, right? You ever caught yourselves praying for the wrong thing? Or dare I say, just praying for something that's just dumb? And you just don't need it. And you just know there's zero chance that God is probably going to answer that prayer. And so here's how I want to spend our short remaining time together. And it's by attempting to answer this question. How do we pray in the Spirit? Because the command of Ephesians is pray at all times in the Spirit. It's what you are to do. And yet here we are, inadequate, insufficient, unqualified, untrained human saying, yeah, we get it, we know it, but how do we do it? How do we actually do that? How do we pray in the Spirit? What does it look like? Because I believe with my whole heart that if we had a stronger awareness of what this looks like and feels like, our prayer life would exponentially grow. Why do we not pray more? It's not because we intentionally like being disobedient to God, I don't think. Why don't we pray more? Because, and we talked about this in the very start of the series, right? One, it could be we're just not convinced that it works. We pray for something, we don't see an answer, we're just not convinced that it really works. But two, I think there's a lack of awareness of how the Holy Spirit is actually like interceding on our behalf and carrying our prayers to God, if you will, on our behalf. And so I think if we could just even take another step into this, we would have this unbelievable awakening in our souls to say, man, I cannot help but pray because I see how the Spirit of God is at work when I pray. How do you awaken a life of prayer in your soul? I think the answer is you infuse it with the Holy Spirit and you say, okay, well, that's a really unhelpful pastor answer. So we'll go another layer. So, okay, you infuse it with the Holy Spirit. How do you do that? What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Well, first, let's contrast it against what it's not. This is going to seem really obvious, but it's worth saying. Praying in the Spirit is not praying in the flesh. You're inclined to say, duh. Hear me out, because after I explain what I mean, I think there might be a few of us who raise our hands and go, oh yeah, I'm guilty of that. What do we mean when we talk about praying in the flesh? Praying in the flesh, I think, depends on two things right here, human ability and human effort. Human ability and human effort. Here's what that translates to mean in our minds or maybe even in what we say. Maybe if I pray longer prayers or if I use bigger words like sanctification and transformation and discipleship and all of our favorite multiple syllable church words. Maybe if I pray longer prayers or you bigger words or pray in front of the right people, I'll push through this kind of spirit of stagnation surrounding my prayer life. But do you remember, I'll just show you one, there's probably others in the scripture, but I'll just show you, if you remember Jesus' rebuke of the Pharisees and the hypocrites in the Sermon on the Mount. This comes from Matthew chapter 6. He's instructing us on how to pray. Whenever you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, because they love to pray standing in the synagogues on the street corners to be seen by the people. In other words, they like public prayer. That's where all the attaboys are. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your private room, shut your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you pray, don't babble like the Gentiles. By the way, you're a Gentile. If you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. So stop babbling. It's a joke. You're a hard crowd today. Don't babble like the Gentiles, since they imagine that they'll be heard for their many words. Don't be like them, because your Father knows the things you need before you ask him. So what was Jesus saying? Longer prayers, eloquent prayers, public prayers aren't necessarily prayers that God hears through the Spirit. Can they be? Of course they can be. I want to believe that when I pray in about 20 minutes publicly, that God hears it. I want to believe that. But Here's what I think Jesus is also trying to say. Are they, just because they are these things, are they automatically heard by God? And the answer is absolutely not. Just because they're public, just because they're longer, just because they're eloquent. Can they be? Of course. Are they just because they are those things? Absolutely not. That's what Jesus is saying. Praying in our flesh depends upon our human ability and effort. Now, don't misunderstand me to say that prayer doesn't require us to kind of show up and put in some level of effort. But the effort I'm describing here in terms of human ability and, what did I say, human ability and effort, the effort I'm describing here is the type that thinks it depends on me to get my prayers to God, if you will. False. The Spirit is interceding for us. More on that in a moment. We're just contrasting it at the moment. So to paint this contrast of what praying in the Spirit looks like, it's not about human ability. It's not about human effort. Put it in really frank terms, you don't need a seminary degree or a microphone on your face to pray in the Spirit. To pray in the Spirit. There are some of you in this room who don't have a seminary degree, don't wear the microphone. I have both of those things, and you pray laps around me. You pray laps around me. I mean, your prayer life is at a level that I dream about. It's not about human ability or effort. You don't need a seminary degree. Because all those things are our flesh. And the Bible would say that's ineffective. The great Martin Lloyd-Jones, he was a Welsh pastor, he's a physician. He said this, "We all know what it's like to feel deadness in prayer. Difficulty in prayer, to be tongue-tied with nothing to say, as it were, having to force ourselves to try. Well, to the extent that that is true of us," he goes on to say, "we are not praying in the Spirit, but rather in the flesh." If it feels like a lot of effort, it's probably because it's your human effort. And you tire of that at some point. You grow weary of that. Deadness in prayer, an accurate description of what I think many of us might feel, the cure for that is praying in the Spirit. So what does that look like? I've teased you with it now for a few minutes. First, praying in the Spirit is praying in harmony with God's word. Here's a very simple thing to grasp. If our prayers are for things that contradict God's word to us, I can assure you they will always be no. Let me give you a really simple example. Maybe sounds funny, not necessarily intended to be, but if you're in a terrible marriage and praying for a girlfriend, God is not going to answer your prayer. It's not going to violate the covenant of marriage. Like, and I know it sounds like an extreme example. I'm using that to help you understand what I'm trying to say. Like, if we're praying for things that contradict God's word to us, I can assure you the answer will always be no. Always. Oswald Sanders said, "God does not speak using two voices." That is such a profound statement. God does not speak using two voices. In other words, he will never move us to pray something that is not sanctioned by him and by the Bible. So if you're praying things that are not sanctioned by God and not sanctioned by the truth of God, you're praying in your own human ability. It is not praying in the Spirit, and you will tire of that, you will grow weary of that, and not to mention it's totally ineffective. Which means then, here's the good news, is that as our prayers are enhanced as our hearts become more saturated with this truth of the Bible. What's the advantage of knowing God's word? There are many, but one of them is that it enhances, it enriches, it grows our prayer life. The more I know of the Bible, the more it helps me to align my prayers with the truth of the Bible. Secondly, praying in the Spirit is praying in harmony with God's will. So we pray in harmony with God's word, and we pray in harmony with God's will. Jesus was the perfect example of this. So I'm going to show you scripture in just a moment, but the scene of Luke chapter 22 is what I would describe as one of Jesus' most vulnerable and difficult moments of his earthly life. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's preparing for the cross. He knows what's ahead of him. He's kind of saying his goodbyes to his disciples, all of those things. He's praying to his Father. This is his prayer in Luke chapter 22. Keep in mind, this is the vulnerability of this moment, the intensity of this moment. Then he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down, and he began to pray, "Father, if you are willing..." He's about to tip his hand here, what his will is, his desire. "If you are willing, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." So we have to ask the question, did Jesus have a will? Did he have a desire in that moment? The answer is absolutely he did. What was it? To avoid the pain of the cross, if possible. He was human. He was saying, "Hey, if it's possible, take this cup from me," this metaphorical cup of suffering that it was going to be poured out on our behalf. But prior to that happening, he's saying, "If this is possible, would you take this from me?" But then the most important part of that I want you to see is the next line, "Yet, not I my will, but yours be done. Yet, I will surrender my will to yours, even if it means I don't get the outcome that I'm looking for." Go back to the scripture in Romans 8 that we just had a few moments ago. Romans chapter 8, I told you you'd see it a few times. "In the same way, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness because we do not know what to pray for as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with inexpressible groanings." This is the key part. "And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit because he intercedes for the saints," what? "According to the will of God." Not our will, but the will of God. According to the will of God. I get this mental picture when I read this verse in my head of the Holy Spirit almost acting as a foreign language translator between myself and God, if you will, right? He's interceding for me, and so that my prayers are heard by the Father. He's translating my will somehow to align it to the will of God. So to pray in the Spirit is to pray in harmony. Two things, pray in harmony with God's word and God's will. But if you're like me, you're still left asking, okay, how do I do that? It seems to check out, like we're not probably surprised by those answers, but still there's this unresolved question of, well, how do I do that? It sounds easier said than done, and it is. It's much easier said than done. And so I want to pivot, and I want us to see these last couple minutes together how the Spirit helps us to pray in the Spirit. So we're praying in harmony with God's word and God's will, but still, how is the Spirit assisting and aiding in that? The Spirit of God is an active participant in our praying in the Spirit, not a passive spectator. So what role does the Holy Spirit play in helping us to pray this way? And the first is this, that the Spirit grants us access to the Father. I think of it as like almost like a court official that's standing outside the courtroom, holding you outside the courtroom until the judge says, okay, I'm ready to welcome them in and to hear their testimony, if you will. We have no access to the Father through prayer apart from the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, or I should say, if without the Holy Spirit, we are like what Jesus was rebuking. You babble on the street corner so that others might hear you. But God doesn't hear you because the Spirit is interceding for us, giving us access to the Father. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18, "For through him we have both access in one Spirit." So through Jesus, we both have access in one Spirit. That's how we access the Father to the Father. So first, the Spirit grants us access to the Father. Secondly, I'm going to move through these somewhat quickly. The Spirit helps us overcome our reluctance to pray. I love this one, even though I made it up. But it just speaks to me. I have a reluctance to pray. It doesn't come naturally for me. I can sit down and write sermons all day. Praying, getting alone, putting my phone away, turning my brain off, that's much harder. The Spirit helps us overcome our reluctance to pray. Any sense of desire or longing that we have to pray, I believe, is infused to us by the Holy Spirit. In other words, it doesn't come naturally, especially if we're trying to do it in our own human capacity. There's just days we're just not going to do it. We just don't feel like doing it, quite frankly. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. This is an interesting scripture. This is God's declaration over the house of David. It says this: "Then I will pour out a spirit of grace and prayer on the house of David." In other words, I will give this to you. I will pour this out on you. You will not naturally have this. I will pour this out on you. I will give this to you on the house of David and the residents of Jerusalem, and they will look at me on whom they have pierced. I will pour out a spirit of grace and prayer on you. I will give the supernatural to the natural, if you will. The divine to the, I don't know, what are we? Peasants. Thirdly, the Spirit gives us confidence in our prayers. Also love this one. Just think of a situation where you were asking something of someone that you weren't sure how they felt about you versus a situation where you were asking something of someone who you know loves and cares deeply for you. It's very, very different. It's a very different experience. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, this is where our confidence comes from. "And because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.'" In other words, you now access God through a very different relationship. You're not estranged. He's not some scary man that you're just kind of very carefully like, God, would you, rather you crying out in your heart, "Abba, Father." So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then God has made you an heir. You have a rightful claim to the inheritance of God. You can approach God boldly in prayer because you are no longer a slave, but a son, a daughter, an heir. How so? Because he has sent his Spirit. That's what Galatians chapter 4 is all about. God has sent his Spirit into our hearts. Where does our confidence come from? Not from longer prayers. Like some things you get more confident the longer, the more frequent you do them. I don't know, riding a bike, playing a sport, whatever. That's not where our confidence comes from. Our confidence comes from the Spirit of God. He is sent into our hearts, no longer slaves, but a son. And if a son or a daughter, then you are an heir. You walk into the bold room. That's what Hebrews chapter 4 is all about, right? We boldly approach the throne with confidence to find grace and mercy for our time of need. I should put a caveat on that to say you have to get right the reverence and awe component that I think needs to be there. Like, Jesus is not your homeboy, but he is also not going to strike you down. Like, there's something in between there to say, hey, because I'm a son and daughter of God and an heir, no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir, I go confidently to God. And I ask God, by the Spirit of God in me, for what it is that I need. Fourthly, and we've kind of already made this point, but here it is in different language: the Spirit gives clarity to our prayers. So we're just kind of walking through what's the role of the Spirit in prayer. The Spirit gives clarity to our prayers. The Spirit is guiding and illuminating our hearts to be in alignment with God's word and God's will. We looked at that a moment ago. He's purifying our desires, if you will, to align them with God and what is honorable to God. He's refining our motivations so that we are not primarily about honoring ourselves, but rather honoring God. And we've seen this verse several times. Here it is one last time. It drives this point more so than anywhere else. In the same way, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness because we do not know what to pray for as we should. In other words, we're confused. We're confused. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with inexpressible groanings, and he who searches our hearts, and the complexity of our hearts, and the confusion of our hearts, and the chaos of our hearts, and the disjointedness of our lives, he who searches all of that knows the mind of the Spirit because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So the Spirit gives clarity to our prayers. It's just so true. We just have this general sense of confusion sometimes around how to pray, and we're unsure what to pray for. The Spirit gives clarity to our prayers. And then fifth, finally, the Spirit burdens our hearts to move us to pray. Now, this is different than what we said a moment ago, that the Spirit helps us overcome our reluctance to pray. And I want to make sure you get that distinction. This one, the Spirit burdens our hearts. Maybe I should have put that sentence together differently. If I could go back, I would phrase it this way. The Spirit burdens our hearts for the purpose that we might be inclined to pray. So let me just try to tell you what I've not successfully told you so far. Sometimes we are inclined to be prayerless over hard things. God will further burden our hearts in such a way that eventually, if not immediately, we are moved to a place of prayer. The watered down, not so maybe pastoral way to say it would be to say when we hit rock bottom, we are inclined to pray. But I would caution us, and I would caution you against taking the Spirit out of that. I think the Spirit is a part of that in such a way as to burden our hearts, to help us see our need and utter dependence on God, or see our helpless capacity in any particular situation, so that through prayer we might draw near to Him. There's a scene in the Old Testament book of Daniel. I'm just going to summarize it, where the prophet Daniel, it's in chapter 10, I believe, had been fasting and mourning for 3 weeks. Can you imagine that? Fasting and mourning for 3 weeks, and for the purpose of prayer and seeking after God. And that period of mourning and fasting ended for Daniel when he felt like he got clarity, or if you will, an answer from the Lord. And so when your heart feels burdened, be careful to not dismiss it as depression or just general sadness. It might be those things, but very likely, more likely, it is the Spirit at work in you to move your heart and mind to a place of intimacy with God through prayer. Through prayer. So, 5 ways in which the Holy Spirit helps us to pray in the Spirit. Last part of this is for today is, I want to kind of forecast some things that are out ahead of us. Ahead of starting this series, I just felt this consistent burden to help move LBC further down this prayer spectrum, if you will. I couldn't draw it for you. I just made it up in my mind. But I just had this repetitive, longing, desire, nagging, if you will, sense of like, I've got to help, as the leader of LBC, I've got to help move us further down this prayer line to be a praying people. First, because we are commanded to do that, pray at all times in the Spirit. But secondly, because I think the ways that we would see God continue to work and do incredible things in the lives of us as individuals, in our families, in our church, would just leave us in awe. I can remember one of my most distinct memories of being in India a few years ago was story after story after story. We'd go into these villages and just, they would tell us a story of like, you see that man over there? Like, he was blind and we prayed for him and now he sees. You see that hut over there? They weren't sure how they were gonna keep their baby alive because they had no food and they had no milk. And we prayed and someone dropped off a milk cow at their house. And I just remember like going, didn't matter where we went. I couldn't even tell you where we were. But just going village after village, and eventually it's like, of course that happened. Of course that happened. And I just remember having this sense of spiritual jealousy. Like, I would like to experience something cool like that. Why don't I ever see crazy answers to prayer like that? And we could get into all that's wrong with the American version of Christianity. That would be really fun. I could meet you for lunch today. I have a lot to say about that. I probably am complicit in that. Hello, American pastor. But I just want more for us. I just want more for us. And so there's just a couple things that I want to forecast and tell you. These are out ahead of us. These are things we've just kind of been seeking the Lord and whatever. The first is make you aware in October, Sunday, October 26th, we're going to have our very first worship and prayer night. And it's going to be in the evening. It's not going to feel like Sundays at Sienega. It's going to be a worship and prayer night. And we are on the very front end of planning this. We just had a very brief discussion about it this past week, but and there's a lot more pieces and things that we're going to pull into this, but I want you to get it on your calendar and just to plan to be here if you can. October 26th, worship and prayer night. We're just so eager to see how God is going to use that. Secondly, and I don't have anything cool to show you on that, ladies, in the next month or so, you're going to be hearing about an incredible opportunity to connect with another lady in our church, or maybe not in our church, in our community, as a prayer partner. Laura, Kayla, Carrie, some of the ladies have been working on the details of that, and they asked me to work on it, and I just did a whole lot of nothing over the last 6 months with it. So they're like, give it back to us. So they're working on that, and they're going to roll that out, you know, micro level, right? You and ladies, you and one other, just being prayer partners and just supporting one another in that. So excited to see how God is going to use that. Third, and this is something you're more familiar with, each week I stand up here and I mention our Fresh Start area, like I'll do again this morning. But this morning, I want to just take 3 minutes. We're good on time. 3 minutes, and bring up my good friend, Gabe Gonzalez. Where are you, Gabe? You're sitting nearby. You said you were going to, yeah, over there. Oh, everybody comes from this way. Well, let's welcome Gabe up here to the stage. My friend, Gabe, you may or may not know this. I mean, if you're paying attention, most Sundays, Gabe's hanging out at the Fresh Start area. But more specifically, I would say you really give leadership to what we've been called. Step into the light. They're going to get very mad at me on the live stream if you're not in the light. Teach them to stay home. Amen? Just kidding. Just kidding, live stream. Gabe, you really give leadership and oversight to the prayer or to the Fresh Start area, which I'll tip my hand and say we're about to rebrand it and just call it our prayer team. I thought I'd be clever and call it the Fresh Start, and people were like, what are we starting over? When in reality, it's just an area for prayer. And so I'd love for you to just share. You know, I stand up here week after week and say, hey, go to the Fresh Start area, but you just tell us your, like, the heart and the vision for what is our Fresh Start team, soon to be just our prayer team.
Yeah. So I think really at the end of the day, our vision as a team is to, as the book of James tells us, to pray for one another, is to just be there for support. And think that when we pray for one another, that we're bearing each other's burdens, mm-hmm. That we're sharing each other's joys. And I think that, you know, our team, I think the heart of it is just to really see transformation happen in people's lives. You know, we pray right before we enter, you know, that God would put it in the hearts of people to move forward, and just take that step of faith. And we've seen so much, so many people just come to the realization of the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you next, is how have you seen God use your team over there?
Yeah, I mean, just to kind of piggyback off what you were saying, I think that, you know, it's a battle of the Spirit, not in the flesh. And, you know, we've seen so many people move forward. And when people are there, when we're praying for one another, we see just people find hope in Christ. We see people just being completely vulnerable of where they're at. And that's just refreshing for us, especially just when we're praying for one another, just understanding like we're also going through struggles. We're not perfect,
right?
But we're praying for each other, and it's just really nice to see.
I have a visual in my mind. This happened last week. I was, you know, wrapped up service, and I started walking that direction, and you had two people over there, Stephanie and maybe Gabrielle. I don't remember who was there, but there was a lady that had come for prayer, and they each had a hand on her. And it was this like triangle of just bodies. And I just did a double take. I was like, that's exactly what we want.
Yeah.
Is just like, you know, maybe it's not always a physical touch. In that case, it was to say like, we are with you. We are carrying your burdens and your highs and your joys, your lows, just like you said earlier. So last question, what would you say to the person that hears Pastor Rob say, hey, go to the Fresh Start every day or every week? And they're like, oh no, never in my life. Like, it's too scary. Those people are weird. What will people think if they know I need, like, honestly, like the narrative is who knows what, right? What would you say to that person?
I would just say that, you know, we definitely know that that Satan's also working, you know, and he's listening. And, you know, I think that when you have that voice in your heart, that's the Spirit definitely telling you to move forward and ask for prayer. And that I think that when you are moving forward, you are thinking about how am I going to grow in my relationship with Christ? And just know that we're there for you to support you in everything that you're going through as well. But it's a constant struggle that we believe that, you know, Satan's also working, and we just know that the Spirit is greater. And it's amazing just to see how God is using the Fresh Start table, soon to be called prayer team.
Really original, but we landed on it. Yeah, I just to echo that, like, you and I have had so many conversations, like, why don't we have 12 people there on any given Sunday? And I think we always come back to, like, because we're doing spiritual warfare. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like we're handing out pizza, you know? we're doing spiritual warfare, and Satan, like you said, is working against the Spirit of God, if you will, to keep us from taking those steps to step into prayer and allow people to bear our burdens with us. And if Satan can keep you isolated, he's winning. Yeah. And that's one of the things I appreciate so much about CR is people just leave their soul on the table and say, I need help. Yeah. And similarly, just every Sunday, right after our service, there's profound prayer that's happening right over here. And so, Gabe and I have been anticipating this moment for a long time, because you hear us talk about it, you see them over there, but once you understand, like, this is the heartbeat of who we are, is to bear one another burdens, to walk together in prayer. And so, so at the end of the service, I'm going to invite you, just like I do. And we're just confident God brings the right people. But I just wanted you to see and hear the heart of Gabe and the Wallens and Gabe's wife. Like, there's some stuff, and there's great people connected to our Fresh Start team. And they are prayer warriors, and they want to support you in that. Can we thank Gabe for his ministry? Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah, we don't need microphones on accidentally. Take it from someone who's learned the hard way. So those are a couple things, and I'm going to wrap up in just a moment and then lead us in taking communion together. But I just wanted you to see and hear some of the heart of that, because I am really confident and really excited to see how God is going to meet us in this place of prayer as we continue to press in, both individually and collectively in our church. And listen, I'm a realist in this. I know it's a struggle for us, for most of us, myself included at times. And so we're not trying to take a leap. We're trying to take a baby step, and then another one, and another one, and to give you opportunities to just lean into the very Spirit of God through prayer. And so I'm going to close by giving you this, for me, it's a mental picture, but it came out of a book by Samuel Ziemer. I doubt I'm saying that correctly. But close your eyes. I think it'll help you if you close your eyes. He said, picture, he's talking about prayer, and he says, true prayer is God the Holy Spirit. I've been talking about God the Holy Spirit, right? So true prayer is God the Holy Spirit talking to God the Father in the name of God the Son, and the Christian's heart is their prayer room. Just stay with me in that thought for a second, with your eyes closed. God, true prayer is God the Holy Spirit is our intercessor, is our advocate, talking to God the Father, which we would have no access to apart from the Spirit of God, in the name of God the Son, and the Christian's heart, your heart, is the prayer room. Just picture that. Your heart is the meeting place for the triune God to absorb your very prayers. Can you even comprehend that? Even comprehend that? Pray at all times in the Spirit, but when you can't, when you don't know how, here's the good news. The Spirit helps you. Amen? And so I want to close by facilitating a prayer moment together. And then this will take us right into our time of communion together. You don't have to stand, you do this right from your seats, but just ask you to close your eyes. If it helps you, you can hold your hands out in a position of surrender. I just want us to kind of practice this really intentional leaning into the very Spirit of God in our prayers. And so I'm gonna ask that you picture right now your very heart, your very soul as the prayer room, and God the Father is there, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are there. And the Spirit searches your heart, knows the longings of your heart. And so I want you to think of just one thing that you would just say, I don't know how to pray for this thing. The prayers that I pray don't seem to work. Prayers that I pray seem to be just maybe missing the mark. Whatever it is, what is just the one thing that say, very Spirit of God, I need you to search my heart, and then I need you to translate this to God the Father. I need you to intercede for me. This is happening right in your very soul. So I'm going to give us 30 seconds, be quiet, and just go to this place. Father, I thank you that through your Spirit, we have access to you, and that we can boldly approach your throne because we're sons and daughters, and we're no longer slaves. If we're sons and daughters, then we are heirs. And yet, even in our confidence, we still carry with us confusion, still carry with us just the inability sometimes to adequately articulate the very longings of our heart. Maybe there are things we just don't even know how to pray for. Maybe the things that we know we shouldn't want, but we do. Whatever the mess of our heart is today, God, we know that by your Spirit, you search the very depths of our heart. And by your Spirit, we have access to you. And so if it's helpful, I pray for my friends in the room that you would give us a fresh picture of what it means to pray in the Spirit. That our hearts are the very prayer room of this triune God, praying to the Father in the name of the Son, through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's all at work in our very soul. I pray especially for my friends who, whatever that one thing is that they call to mind, I've been around long enough to know that we all have at least one thing that we just say, this is a perpetual longing of my soul. Maybe it's a sick loved one, maybe it's a broken relationship, maybe it's an unfulfilled longing, maybe it's a financial burden, maybe it's a mental health challenge, maybe it's a secret addiction. There's at least one of those things for each of us. And so we bring that today amongst all the other maybe 1,000 things we could pray. We bring that one. Just say, we don't know how to pray as we ought to. But thanks be to God, the Spirit helps us. Would you transform our lives? Would you transform our church? Be praying people, believing you for more, asking you for the impossible, trusting you with the hard.